pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Its words will I hide in my heart, that I might not sin against God.
Don't you know that
I believe, I believe.
All right, welcome to Small Talk with Matthew and Rachel. Today we're going to continue on with James chapter 1. We did the first 18 verses last time. And this time we're going to read about doers of the word. So it's amazing how, you know, if you come away from this chapter at any length of time, you forget what the first part was about. Remember, consider it all joy.
Yep.
And it gave us, you know, examples of different Christians, which was pretty important.
Yeah.
So we're going to pick it up in verse 19 here. Do you want to read or you want me to?
What am I reading to? The end of the chapter?
Yeah, it's 8 verses. Okay. Yep.
Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
So, boy, that's really a big chunk right there. I mean,
is that talking about different people too, though?
What do you mean?
Like, is this like addressing the person who is talking too much, the person who tends to get angry?
Okay, and we talked about that in the first part. Is this talking about Christians or not?
Yeah, I think it's still
talking about
different Christians.
Yes, it's still talking about Christians. It's not talking about the unsaved.
All right. So that means that even Christians, there are going to be certain Christians who are too quick to speak.
That's right.
And slow to hear.
That's right.
And quick to anger. There's going to be, you will know them in your church, you know. There will be these people, you know, but they are Christians, okay? And then there is the one that, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. So then you're going to have those Christians that are keep on getting pulled away by the world.
And take
them. And, you know, so they keep on getting pulled into things that are worldly.
Because they're only hearers of the word. They're not doers of the word.
Well,
a doer of the word has taken the word and implanted it within them.
Well, I just think that we need to focus on these different people. You know, we've got the people that are quick to speak and quick to anger. And then you've got the people that are not getting rid of the wickedness and the filthiness in their life.
Right.
And then you've got the ones who come to church and they take notes and everything like that. They do a really good job of saying, yeah, that was a really good sermon, you know, that was really nice, but they don't like actually implement what it is they're receiving. So they struggle with that. So those are I feel like there's a lot more of the ones that are doing that, that do that. You know, they know they're supposed to go to church. They know they're supposed to listen. They know they're, you know, they want to take in good things because they're taking notes, but then they just struggle to implement it in their everyday life. So you have that group. And let's see. Yeah, so. And then it goes into.
Then it breaks off into this part.
Yep, the one who thinks he is religious but does not bridle his tongue. So that's like really actually some of the people that have been in the church for a while.
For a while.
You know, and really, you know, they've had some good experiences and growth, and they've grown quite a bit. But then the evil one comes in and tries to make them prideful in what it is that they, where they, how far they've come, and they have trouble with bridling their tongue when that happens, because they just, it's just like a kid who starts out in kindergarten and first grade, and they know everything. They know all the letters. They know all the colors. They're good to go, and they think they know it. You know, maybe they're even reading a little bit. So then kindergarten goes real well. First grade goes real well. Then second grade comes along, and they're not really reading at the same pace that the other kids are. And, you know, and so they're falling behind because they think they're there. They think they're already smart. So I think that that is what that person is. That person's the one who's done a lot of growing.
So why do you think it ends with the undefiled religion? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this.
Well, I think defiled means basically we're kind of like when you're driving a car and it starts getting a little bit of dirt on it here and there, and you don't really notice at first, but before long it can get looking really bad.
Yeah, that's.
And so I think that that's more like what it is, not like that you just dumped your head in the toilet or anything. It's just gradually accumulated these things that are filthy.
So one would have to ask this question. So someone who visits orphans and widows in their affliction, they're doers of the word.
Right.
And someone who doesn't do
and
that.
Keeping oneself unstained from the world. Because that goes to that some of the other people in the first part, like the ones who need to put away the filthiness and rampant wickedness, ones that are quick to speak and quick to anger. Those are the ones that are like the baby Christians.
Mm-hmm. But we have to agree to this. These two last verses are there letting everybody know that if you're doing the things in the above verses and you're a Christian.
I think it's a summary of basically all the faults that can come along within the body of Christ. It's just kind of a summary. I think the 26 is the one basically the teachers and the pastors that are going to be struggling with this 26. And then the 23 and 24, for anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like the man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. That's for the main mid-growth body of the church, I think, is is where that comes into play. The main, and then the ones who are quick to speak, and those are kind of the babies, maybe the young adults and the teenagers are struggling with some of this up here. But if you've been a Christian for, you know, if you're over the age of 25 and you've been a Christian for longer than 5 years, you should not be really dealing with any of these things in 19 through 21 anymore. You shouldn't. So if you are, then you need to, and sometimes you do, like, I mean, again, let's go back to, because most people know that I used to homeschool the kids, and, you know, there's been times, you know, when they were just really getting bad grades in math. And I'm like, and I'm getting to look at things, I'm like, wow, you've forgotten some of these elementary principles. So we just had to completely backtrack into, like, the grade before, or even two grades before, and just review those things again. And so, yeah, sometimes the ones who get down to 26 have to go back all the way back to 19, though. And sometimes it happens, but it's like, it's literally like looking in the mirror. It should be, when we look at the law, it should be like looking in the mirror. Okay? Just like it says. Right after, for he who looks in himself and goes away and once forgets what he looks like. And then in 25 is the very next thing. But the one who looks into the perfect law. So the law is supposed to be our mirror.
Yes, it's supposed to be our mirror.
So we need to continually, if we read verses 19 through 26 and we're lacking, we need to go back to those basic laws and review them. As if looking in a mirror, am I really doing all this stuff? Because it doesn't matter how far along as a Christian you are, whether you're a youth or whether you're more mature, whether you're in the position of teaching and preaching, there's going to be times when you're going to have to go back and look at that mirror. Think of how many times we look at the mirror during the day. We at least look in the mirror before we go somewhere.
Yes, we do.
So that means before we're interacting with people, we're looking in the mirror. So shouldn't we, when we, and I'm talking to myself too, like, shouldn't we, when we go out among God's people, shouldn't we, like, look at the law again and make sure that we don't need to brush up on anything?
Well, you know, when you look into the law, what are you looking at? Okay, if you've lied, that's going to mar your appearance, isn't it?
Right.
If you're a liar, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and, oh no, I've been lying.
Because the law tells us about the person of God, who
that's
he
right.
is, and we're supposed to be looking like him.
Yes. So
and so we look at, we can, lots of things that we can look at, the, you know, the Ten Commandments for sure, you know, the Beatitudes, and that's kind of like your go-to, and my go-to a lot is the fruits of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and the things we should be thinking about, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's, you know, those kinds of verses, you know, just kind of have some of those, you know, out, or even have them hanging on your wall, even, you know. It's not a bad idea to have them hanging on your wall, because it's, you know, that makes it easy to just review. You know, you don't have to pull out your Bible. You're getting ready for church. You're getting ready to go somewhere. There it is on the wall. Let's take a minute to just go through this. Make sure we're all right, you know, especially when there is drama going on within the body of Christ, especially when that kind of thing is happening, because, you know, if you're upset with, you know, one of your brothers and sisters in Christ, first of all, you need to check yourself. Just because they're doing something that's frustrating doesn't mean they're not a Christian. Just because they might be doing something in sin doesn't mean they're not a Christian. They might be messing up, but we need to go back to this. Yes, this is talking about other Christians, what this chapter is. So they might be doing some of this stuff, but we need to remember that they're Christians. And because that kind of tends to be a go-to when somebody is doing something that is maddening and frustrating, our go-to tends to be, well, they're not even a Christian. Because we're able to see their fault before they are, for some reason. So we see it from our perspective and how it affects us. So we begin to think, well, that person's not even a Christian. I wish they would just leave the church, you know? Why don't they just go somewhere else? Instead of thinking, no, this is my sister in Christ, this is my brother in Christ, we need to pray for them, and that God will show them what he needs to, but also at the same time, I need to pray for myself and to make sure and check my work. Just like math, check your, you know, looking at the law is like checking your work.
It's like checking your garments, right?
Yeah.
Because one thing's for sure, if your garments are not white, the Bible's quite clear.
Right.
So, you know, when you look in the mirror, like I said, you know, if you're a liar, you're going to see it.
Right, right. Like, nobody's going to, like, if you have a baby and you got spit up on the front of your shirt, you get ready to walk out, you're not going to look in the mirror and be like, oh, well, it's just spit up, and it's just baby spit up, so
that's right.
It's all right. No, you're going to go, you're going to either try to get it off, or you're going to change your shirt.
Right. It's just a white lie, right?
So when we think
right?
about those small things that we've been doing that we probably shouldn't have been doing, you know, the movie we watched last night that might have had some inappropriate things and we didn't turn it off, or I don't know.
Anything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... But, yes, that's why we're looking into the mirror before we go out in public, right? That's why we do it.
But how often do we do that, especially when the kids were little? You know, we're just trying to get everybody, you know, dressed so people don't judge us, you know, because of what our kids are wearing, or you know,
yep.
Like somebody's socks don't match, or I don't know what all, you know, all the different things. Somebody put gum in their hair before we left, you know, but so we're just trying to get out the door, and we don't stop to pray. We don't stop to maybe have a little bit of devotions beforehand and double check and make sure we're in the right spirit.
Well, in view of looking into the mirror, let's read Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed in white robes, who are they? And where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." You better look in the mirror before you leave your house.
Or before you get in a conversation on the phone, before you get into the comment section in Facebook, whatever it is you're doing, you know. And, like, again, you know, I'm talking to myself, too. You know, I'm not just saying, you guys.
So, let me read these again. You read it out of the English Standard Version. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard Bible, 95. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does.
Well, that's effectual doer. So not just a doer, you know, we're not just going through the motions. We're not just...
They put it into effect. They do it.
Yeah. Is what I'm doing important? You know, because we can do a lot of things for the church. You know, we can find all kinds of things to keep ourselves busy at church, but like, is it really having the effect that God wants it to have? You know, if we're fighting about what songs we're singing at church, how is that effectual? I mean, I know we wanna choose, you know, good music and things like that. We wanna do a good job, but if we're fighting about it, that's we're not being effectual then.
That's arguing and complaining.
Right. And again, you know, Christian brothers and sisters, you know, nobody's not a Christian in that situation, but it happens. That's a common thread in a lot of churches, is the music.
Agreed. Yes, it is.
So.
All right. You going to pray us out of here?
Well, now that you're putting me on the spot.
Well, you did last time. Do you want me to do it this time?
I don't care.
Well, yes or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for the perfect law. Thank you so much for reminding us to look intently into the perfect law, to see and to gauge and to judge ourselves. Thank you so much for your church, and thank you so much for fellow Christians, and thank you so much for the time that you afforded to Rachel and I to share with your children. It has truly been an honor and a blessing to call ourselves by your name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Till next time, God bless, Godspeed.